this week on It's So Bad, we're going back to the planet Zebes as we add Super Metroid to the endless list here on the podcast. Steve and Matt, back to another podcast discussion.
We're back.
We're adding a classic, another all-time classic to our endless list of video games.
But is it?
It is. Super Metroid. I don't know. We'll discuss it.
We'll discuss.
I guess.
You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, etc. What is the endless list, Matt?
51 games so far up to this point. Ranked in an order that would suggest the top is the best and the bottom is the least best. And
what does best mean to you?
Well, we discuss it each episode. You should listen sometime. But it it includes you know, it's how well it's aged, how good it was at the time, how it compares to other games, you know, of its time. I guess that's the same thing. Yeah, how fun it is to play.
Its legacy. How it aged.
Yeah.
Like a fine wine, yes. Or like a really bad cheese.
I mean, it's overall quality.
Overall
quality. In 2019, or whenever we record.
Yes. So, what is Super Metroid, Steve?
Super Metroid is the sequel to Super... Actually, not Super. Metroid 2?
Yeah.
And then the original Metroid game. It is a Metroidvania, if you can glean
maybe.
That from the title.
Maybe.
It is.
There's not much vania to it.
Yeah, there's
right?
There's some people that would say that there's not a lot of vania.
Oh, well, that makes sense because it's just Metroid.
Yes.
Right.
But regardless, it is a kind of a space action adventure platformer,
exploration.
Open world, in quotes.
Yeah, I think exploration is like the back of the box word.
There's a lot of exploration
for this
game. Yes, I buy that.
And space.
Lots of space. Well, you're on a planet. So,
right, true. Yeah. Alien.
Alien planet.
Yes.
Yeah.
Specifically, Alien, the movie. It's definitely influenced.
Yeah.
Oh, certainly. Yeah.
Ridley is named after Ridley Scott, and Samus is a woman because of Ripley from Aliens. So this is definitely.
I just assumed it was a play on Ripley. I didn't even consider Ridley Scott.
It's Ridley Scott.
Right. What are those?
H.R. Geiger was also a huge influence for this game.
The robots. That
oh
you
yeah.
Fight.
Oh yeah. The bird guys look like space jockeys.
Yeah, they
for
do.
Sure.
100%.
Yeah.
Those are Chozo.
Chozo.
Of course. Yeah.
Yes. Those are the ancient race that exists on this planet as a MacGuffin to give you different upgrades.
I mean, that's like literally what the space jockeys were in like the Alien universe, right?
They were just like the things that were there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we didn't really know what they are, but now we know in 2019.
Well, yeah, true.
you could assume.
Right.
Advanced alien civilization.
I wouldn't say that they were necessarily a precursor race, but I'm not getting into this, Mike. We're staying on topic.
Prometheus wasn't that bad of a movie. Just going to say it.
I enjoyed it.
Prometheus wasn't that bad of a movie.
No, I thought it was fine.
But
not as good as Alien Covenant, though, which was
a
better
movie. Is
that the
one that came out after?
Yeah.
Really, that was better?
Oh, I liked it. I loved it.
My only problem is they're just remaking Alien.
There's a
over
scene
and over
where
again.
Michael Fassbender kisses himself.
Yeah. It's sweet.
It's fucking that whole.
I thought it was great.
He plays a flute and then he kisses himself.
He's the best part of those movies.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that movie was bad.
Oh, I liked it.
Also, I really hated the guy from Almost Famous in that movie. He was an idiot.
I liked it because it was
Billy Crudup.
It was Prometheus with more xenomorphs.
Yeah, I don't want to get into it.
We are way off topic.
So you can play this game on your Super Nintendo. It was originally out on the Super Nintendo in 1994. It came out. But you can also play it now on a number of different devices. You can play it on your 3DS if you want to download it from the Virtual Console. You can play it on your Wii U if you want to play it on your tablet. And you can also play it if you pay $20 for a year on your Nintendo Switch Online service. The Super Nintendo... what is it called? Online?
It's Nintendo Online Super Nintendo Classics, I think.
Or something like Super Nintendo Entertainment System or something like that. I don't know. But you can play it on your Switch. You can also play it on the Super Nintendo Classic because it's on there as well. So lots of ways for you to play this game. And Steve, why are we adding this game to the list?
We are adding the game to the list for the reason you just described, that you can play it on Switch now. And that, for me, not having played video games until the N64 PlayStation era, has allowed me to travel back in time a little bit and play some older games. And I played a lot of Smash in my time, love Samus as a character, never played any Metroid games, and I was always, that was like always a big blind spot for me in my gaming history. Like I wanted to go back and play.
I have always, so since about 2015, I have been going through a list of the top reviewed Metacritic games of all time. There's 50, I have 50 of them in a list. This is now my 26th. I have gone over half of them. But I've always wanted to play this game. I've started this game a few years ago with a friend, and we got lost, and we could never figure it out. Because it's not like a game you can sit down in one session if you've never played it before. It probably takes you two or three sessions.
It took me more than that.
Wait, to beat it?
If you have like a night. If you have like a full night.
If you're playing, yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, at the end of it, it said it took me 6.5 hours.
It took me almost 10 hours to do it.
Yeah, I mean, people, like, I think three, you get the good ending if it's less than 3 hours, I think.
Yeah.
What's your history with this game, Matt?
I first heard about this game because my mom and I were at Electronics Boutique, and we were talking to the guy behind the counter, and he said, oh, you should check out this game, it's really good.
Nice.
And we bought it, and we brought it home, and I played it a while, and I got stuck almost immediately.
That would happen.
I was way too young. I should not have been playing. Like, it was just too advanced.
Yeah.
And we brought it back.
So,
and I probably got Pilot Wings or something.
Did you ever play this game again, or is this the second time you're playing?
This is the only time since then I played.
So this game...
I knew it was good. It's just, I never got around to
it. This game came out a weird period for me. So, like, 94 was, like, the waning years of the Super Nintendo. Was not the heyday. Like, there was other systems on the horizon.
Was 96 Nintendo 64?
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
and PlayStation was 95, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But nobody bought it until, like, 96.
Yeah.
Because the first year was kind of, like, a lost year because they wanted to prove themselves. And then everybody started buying because it was super cheap and everybody was putting games on it. So, but yeah, you could see, like, Saturn was coming out and PlayStation was coming out in 94. So there were the other systems, and you knew that Nintendo was making this Ultra 64 thing that had crazy 3D that people started talking about. So, and I also personally had in 1993 had gotten a Pentium PC.
Oh.
Our first PC in the household. So I was playing games like Civilization and what else was I playing? Civilization 2 and TIE Fighter and all kinds of CD-ROM games that you just couldn't experience on consoles. So I was like in that headspace.
Yeah.
And I think the only thing that brought me back to Super Nintendo in 1994 was Donkey Kong Country, which came out later on that year.
Because
that was like a big game that came out.
That was kind of my headspace for games back then too. Like whatever I could play on the PC or Mac that we had in the house.
Right. So, so I was kind of out of the Super Nintendo, but I never really got into Metroid. I had the first one. I never was into the second one. It's odd too, because I was also into Mega Man X, which came out in 1994.
Probably what I got actually. I played a shitload of Mega Man X.
Game cost $70 when it came out.
I mean,
$70?
Yeah.
In 94?
Yeah.
Games don't even cost that now.
So there were games that cost like $100.
Yeah.
If they had extra memory in them. So like Phantasy Star 4 for Genesis cost $100.
That is insane.
Chrono Trigger cost like $80. So like games would cost a shitload.
Because I remember when games like PlayStation 2 games were $50 and then they eventually went up to $60. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
This $10 price jump is a real barrier. Yeah.
So January had Mega Man X. February had Sonic 3. This came out in April of 1994. July, you had TIE Fighter, which is another game on our list. Earthworm Jim came out in August. Earthbound was released in Japan in August of that year. In November, had Donkey Kong Country. This game.
This game.
Team was managed by Gunpei Yokoi, who designed Rob the Robot for the Nintendo. He also designed the Game Boy. And he designed the Virtual Boy. And after that, he was fired by Nintendo. But he did a lot for Nintendo. He supervised development of the original Metroid and Kid Icarus. The guy who was in charge of, who was a director of this, was Yoshio Sakamoto, produced by Makoto Kano. And Sakamoto has, as we mentioned earlier, cited Alien as a direct influence on Metroid in general, but on this game in particular, they went more in depth with how you explore caves and how it was more of like an alien feeling world, and especially with like the design, as we mentioned, of the Chozo and stuff like that, really digging deep into that alien sci-fi mythology.
Or just, you know, ripping it at surface value, yeah. Face value.
Developed in 2.5 years, so it took a little bit of time.
Is that long for that?
No, I think it's pretty standard for that time period. Was among one of the first games to feature a map in-game.
That's
quite the map.
Yeah, it's quite a map.
It's not very designed very well.
No, it's not.
But I mean, it is the first iteration of a map, so.
That was when I was thinking about this pod and like, where I got hung up on, I kept coming back to the map and how much time I spent thinking like, does this room go to this room? Because they seem to be right next to each other.
Right.
And I would spend hours, like probably over the course of the game, just running into rooms being like, nope, not this one.
And now best practice in Metroidvania games is if rooms aren't connected, you leave a space in between them. So on the map.
Right. They don't do that.
They don't do that in this game.
That's a mistake.
There was a strong desire when they were making this game to make a cinematic experience, and how they did that was they didn't want to take the player out of the action. So the majority of the time the story is told in game, which was something that didn't happen in the time period in 1994. So when you go, the only time when there's like story directly shoved in your face is when you once you leave the intro area, there's a scroll that right. tells you stuff, and there's a zoom in on the ship going to the space station. That's the only time when they kind of do cinematic stuff. Otherwise, it's in game. Mm-hmm. So you start off, you go to a space station. Ridley's there stealing the Metroid, who has it in her palms.
Yeah, you discover that everyone's dead on the space station.
Yeah, and everybody's dead. So there's a glass tube that's broken, and everybody's lying on the floor dead. You walk through that area, and then you get to Ridley, who's holding the Metroid in that glass tube. And then you fight Ridley, who's one of the principal bad guys of the original game, in the first 5 minutes of the game.
Right. And reading up on this, that space station is where you deliver the Metroid at the end of Metroid 2. And so it just like picks up. You think everything's fine, and you get a distress call, and you go back, and shit has hit right. the fan.
Yeah, so she leaves the space station after Metroid 2, the ending, because she's delivered it to... So the whole thing with the Metroid, for people who don't know, Metroids are a source of unlimited power. So people want to utilize that for bad times.
I did not know that.
That's the whole point of Metroids. Floaty brain alien thing.
Jellyfish.
Jellyfish
yeah.
things.
Yeah.
I always think jellyfish.
And so in Metroid 2, a baby Metroid imprints itself on Metroid, and she becomes the mother, and she gives it up to the Federation, who are these like space government bureaucracy for study.
Imprints herself on Metroid or on Samus?
The Metroid imprints itself on Samus.
Oh, okay, yeah.
To be its mother.
Got it.
Because it was just born. And Samus 2 is a weird game. So Samus 2 for Game Boy, it looks terrible.
Metroid 2?
Yes, Metroid 2, sorry.
We're interchanging Samus and Metroid, yeah.
And Metroid 2, it's actually called The Return of Samus, I believe. Metroid 2.
Oh, yeah, okay.
So Metroid 2 is a weird game. It's like full Metroid game, but on a Game Boy, and it's like an early Game Boy game, so it looks terrible.
Yeah, when we picked this game, I panicked for a second, because I was like, Super Metroid's the next game, right? We're just going through the chronology, and then I realized it was the third game.
Yeah, it's
and
actually
I was like,
not.
Oh, no!
Like, there's story in that. I don't think there's super lot of story. It's more in, like, the instruction manual, like an original Nintendo game. Mm-hmm. But that game directly leaves off where you pick up in Super Metroid. And so you have this Metroid that you turn into the Federation. Ridley and the space pirates come back and steal the Metroid and bring it back to Zebes, which was their home base in the first game. You're going back to the first game. Matt, did you play Metroid?
The original one? I played a bit of it. I did notice that when you get like the Morph Ball or whatever, it's the exact same.
Yes. So they're telling story in that way. When you first enter in, you're going through... When you get to Zebes, you entering in through where you escaped from in the first game.
Right.
Oh, okay. So it's all destroyed, and where you're going through where Mother Brain used to be.
It was pretty cool that me having not played much of Metroid to even notice that it was a cool effect, and I imagine it was much more amplified
in 1994.
Yeah. I did notice, because before I started this game, I fired up, because you have the regular Nintendo feature on the Switch too. I played the original Metroid for like 20 minutes or something. Yeah. And I noticed a similarity, but I didn't realize they were the same planet. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So there's the first area that you go to where you get the Morph Ball is directly the same. Like when you come down, that's the first screen from the Nintendo one.
All right, here's a question I have. When you get the Metro or the Morph Ball,
yes,
there's like a weird eyeball that has like the X-ray
security.
The same...
It's a security system.
You never see it again. What's the deal with that? So, is there a deal with that?
I think the idea is that when you first land on the system, you thought, based on Metroid, that you had destroyed Mother Brain and the space pirates.
Uh-huh.
And that the world was now empty, because you don't see a lot except for creatures that would exist there up right. until that point.
Well, yeah, but, and even the monsters are, or the aliens and stuff are not there when you enter the first time.
Right. And those are space pirates.
Well, even like the, not even the pirates, like the little guys too.
Oh, right, yeah, okay, there, yeah. Okay. So that is, the eye is supposed to clue you in that
something's there.
Okay. So that's like environmental storage.
These are the eyes that cover the doors. You have to shoot them with rockets.
No. There's a,
it's like a surveillance camera.
Yeah, it's like it's like scans you, like the X-ray scan sort of thing.
I vaguely
like,
remember that.
It like makes a bright light on you.
I just thought it was funny that they did that, but it was just that one time. And yeah. I guess the effect was lost on me.
Somewhat spoilers, but later when you fight the Mother Brain, there's like a killing beam blow that it goes against you. Is it the same style as this scanning beam that gets you around the beginning?
No. Oh, yeah, sort of. Yeah. It is.
Because that's like right at the end of the game.
Right, but it's not. It's just, it's supposed to be like a light that shines on you as opposed to being like a... But that's a good, it's probably a callback.
That yeah, because it's like a rainbow, like hyper beam that scans you and then blasts you against the wall.
Right. So, there's other environmental storytelling, like there's a dead explorer outside Kraid's lair when you first fight Kraid.
Yep.
And there's also the wrecked ship just being existing, and you have to turn on the power, and that is like, oh, there's a ship that crash-landed here.
That's very alien, too.
Is the wrecked ship, though, does that belong to the space pirates? Yes, right? I assumed the space pirates came from the wrecked ship. Or are the Chozo from...
So the Chozo are ancient beings who were there thousands of years ago.
Because I think you went to go into the wrecked ship, that's when you really encounter more of the space pirates.
Maybe.
That is kind of when you start to amp it up with the
space But there's pirates. Also, like, there another piece of environmental storytelling is when you beat Ridley, there's a cracked tube.
Yeah.
That it suggests that the Metroid escaped.
Mm-hmm.
there's a whole bunch, but yeah, so this is the whole point is that the way they designed it is that it was supposed to be an open world game, but it's also a linear game. It's a linear game that's kind of disguised into an open world game.
It's like the Metroid of Metroidvania, right? It's like the idea is you're finding items that open up the path that you got stuck at the first time you encountered it.
Right.
Yeah, you're supposed to go somewhere. You can't just go wherever you want.
Right. Yeah. So you get each upgrade allows you to go to a different spot. So you first get the Morph Ball, then you get missiles, then you get super missiles, then you get like the huge bomb thing.
Super bomb or whatever.
Super bomb.
So while we're on that topic. I got to the end of the game and I found out I did not get the spacer or the plasma gun.
Oh, really?
And so I got to a hard battle, found I was not going to get through it.
Which battle?
The two shielded space pirates before Ridley.
Oh, yeah.
When you have to, like, jump over them.
You don't have to beat them with the spacer or the...
Well, you have to kill them, though.
Yeah, you can kill them with, rockets missiles.
Or well, rockets. I had another issue where in my save, I didn't have enough life, and I didn't want to go all the way out and re-heal.
Yeah, also, Ridley's, like, right after that.
Right, exactly. I would not have survived. Life. Point being, though, I wish that... They have so many, like, hard barriers that you need an item to get through. I wish they had done that
with the spacer, with
some of the weapons.
Yeah.
Because I got towards...
did you get the freeze beam?
I got the freeze beam, and I got the wave beam, because you need those two to get through.
Yeah.
But you don't need the other two.
I think
but it made some of the fights at the end grueling because I was doing no damage.
Yeah, I think the Chozo statue...
The Chozo before Screw Attack... And I had no...
Yeah,
I had a shitty weapon.
You need to use...
It was awful.
Because he's immune to regular missiles, and
he catches them and throws them back.
Yeah, so if he catches them, you can shoot him with one. But I did that the first fight. And then the second fight, I tried to use the charge shot, and the charge shot just works.
Yeah,
so that's what I did. I got stuck at that point, and I looked up a guide, and it was like, oh, if you just do a charge shot 15 times or whatever, you'll kill him. It had to have taken me 50-plus times with a charge shot to kill him. I was just going back and forth, like, nonstop, because my weapon did so little damage.
Wow. You know what's funny?
It was not that fun.
It is funny, though. Sounds frustrating. So, I would say getting to and fro on the map is actually not, doesn't take that long.
Yeah.
It's just frustrating when you miss something and you have to go all the way back there. I, for example, I got soft locked in an area that was, that I couldn't get out of. So if you go to, I got the super bomb, and then I knew based upon playing this before, you could blow up the glass tube to get to Meridia.
Yeah.
But I did not have the suit that allows you to move freely in the water.
Yeah. Oh. So, I also had that problem the first time I was in it.
So you can go into an area where there's a one-way door and just get stuck
and because knock it you out. Can't like get your,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's a, yeah. So there's a glass tube, you're traveling through it. You can, what is it, the super bomb blows it up. Thankfully, I was able to intuit that, and that was a great moment.
That is obtuse.
But it was sick. It was, there was something about it where I was traveling through, and I was like, this is a weird section where, like, the map changes, and I'm like, what's going on with this
tube? And there's also creatures in the background.
Yeah, and I was like, what goes on? And so I just tried it out, but I was very happy to have that moment. I mean, there were definitely low moments of this game for me, but that... Breaking that and finding out that worked blew my mind.
See, that I got to that point right at about the point where I was getting sick to death of this game and had going all over the place, and I just had my IGN guide up, and I was like, blow it up, cool, all right, go over here, fine, whatever, let's just get to the end.
I don't remember when I first played this game if I intuited that or if we looked it up, but I knew how to get through that part. Did you guys find it easy to turn to the ball and have the Chozo statue carry you through certain sections?
I also looked that up.
I figured
that was an earlier part
because he has his hand out, right?
Yeah. And I did it on everyone because what I'd do was I'd bomb up and over and then go try to bomb. I'd bomb everywhere.
Yeah, I would do that too.
So, and I never got the bomb or morph ball jump either. That was another thing I just never got. Oh,
that's an OP jump right
there. I would just bomb my way up. But there were certain parts where I'd have to like figure out the pattern of bombs.
Yep.
To bomb myself a second time to get into some ledges. I mean, it worked.
Yeah. I think we haven't touched on, which is two of the most frustrating things about this game, which is your jumping, number one. So the jumping in this game, if you don't hold the directional button and just jump, you jump straight up.
Right.
And if you hold the direction... You do a floaty spin jump.
Do you do that from the beginning?
Yes.
Yeah. That's not some. That's not like an item.
No.
Yeah, okay.
And then, but you can get like the mega jump where you keep pressing jump and he jumps higher and higher.
Yeah. Let's talk about that.
So, but first off, just it's
do we have to?
It's, oh my God. It's frustrating as fuck. It's doing some of the platforming in this game because of how. Tight the control in that capacity is.
Tight in a bad way.
The wall jumping.
I will say this. So
wall jumping is so hard to do.
I never once wall jumped.
Oh, wall jumping is ridiculously hard.
Is wall jumping actually, is it like a, Is it actually in the game, or is wall jumping like a glitch that...
No, it's in the game. It's in the game because it is? Because there's an animation where she turns when she's on the wall.
When you use the hook to... Well,
the hook thing is different.
Yeah, yeah. So if you...
No, but she does turn that same, similar way.
Yes. So if you wall, if you spin into a wall, mm-hmm. and you press over at the right time, she... And
it's
you press,
such a small
You
window.
Press the opposite direction... At the right time, she turns, and there's an animation where she twists and puts her feet against the wall.
Oh.
And then if you press jump at that time, you can jump. And I did it, so you don't need it in this game.
Yeah, I never needed it, but...
But it's helpful.
It was but.
It was but.
Yeah, so...
I think the control... This game does not feel good to play.
Can I ask you this, though?
I disagree with that, but only in these specific circumstances.
I think any of the jumping, so, I think any of the mega jumps or whatever
you,
it is.
Yeah, so
ask away.
I don't think a particular game feels very good to play, but you love this game. And there is a community that loves Super Metroid. There's also a community that loves Dark Souls, which does not feel good to play whatsoever and has the same type of roly... You don't know when it's going to come out of the roll versus you don't know when it's going to come out of the rolling jump. Mm.
To talk specifically about Dark Souls, the issue is with the roll? I mean, the roll...
I think it's just the attack animations, too. Like, is it purposely designed this way? Or is it just people have come to accept it to be this way?
I think the difference is Dark Souls in combat... The word that gets thrown around is like deliberate. You know, they want when you start an animation, the idea is there's such a long animation that you're committing to an attack. And the roll, for instance, you know, you're wearing different armor. Like, unless you have a fast roll, your roll is not that good in Dark Souls. Like, meaning if you have light armor, you have a fast roll. Heavy armor is a slow roll. I think the difference is like, A, it's consistent. You know, the animations are always consistent. Like, it's always the same animation.
Why is it not consistent in Super Metroid?
Well, the execution of... You know, I got to the end of Super Metroid, and there were sections where you had to do the space jump or whatever it is, where you jump and keep... You double, triple, you like quadruple jump.
Yeah.
And I knew how to do it, but I could not mechanically execute it.
Sure, that's space jump. I'm just talking about the jump.
I mean, the regular jump was fine, but like the wall jump, I could never get to work. The space jump, I could never get to work. And you're required to use a space jump at the end.
The space jump, I think, depends on the size of the room a little bit, because there are some rooms where you're in like a narrow passageway and you're trying to go along. And it's really easy to do that, to continue along.
Right.
When you're in a bigger space, it gives you more room to jump up. And so you have to time it right.
And I don't know what it is, but if you're by the ceiling, it's much easier to do.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if you're in a smaller space, you can do that much more easily.
Yeah, so if there's like a long tunnel, I just would...
Yeah, you just boop, boop, boop.
Which
boop.
I think is the frustrating part.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean,
but I just wanted to bring up that point. Yeah.
There are frustrating controls in this game, no doubt about
yeah.
it.
Yes.
Yeah. It was just too much for me.
I also had... When you first start this game, the default controls are, like, ridiculous.
Oh, I don't even know what the default controls are. I changed them.
Oh, what did you change in the default controls?
Like, the choosing weapon was on select, and if you don't have a Super Nintendo Classic controller, you have to, like, reach up to the minus on the Switch.
That was kind of a reach, yeah. controller.
So I just changed it to X, I think, or change it to left trigger.
The thing that got me about the wall jump is that I would struggle sometimes on, like, these long... areas you have to climb up mm-hmm. and I wouldn't be able to do it, and then like in the middle of it I would perfectly do it right. like four or five times, but then like something would like a bee would come hit me and I would fall all the way back down and not be able to do it again.
Yeah, but there's not there the only area where I thought you had to wall jump was in Meridia when you come down from the wreck ship. There's these guys that like jump up and you can freeze him, and then there's a wall to go over to the other side. So I thought you had to freeze him and then do a wall jump to get over the other side. So I spent like 20 minutes.
Oh, everything. I just like waited till they got to a part that I could like, you know, jump. And I did a lot of like the running jump, seemed very inconsistent.
It was
like how much height you would get.
Oh.
Like the
sometimes,
super jump.
Sometimes I would jump and like fly up to the next screen. And then other times I would just not. jump high at all. I don't know.
I never used that at all.
I just thought the game controlled clunkily. That's all I had to say.
Yeah,
it does. Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. No, you're right. Yeah. I mean, my second biggest gripe besides the jumping is the grapple beam. Because fuck the grapple beam.
I did not have the problems with the grapple beam
that you guys seem to. After I used it once or twice, it didn't really bother me at all.
Yeah.
I don't know. I could not get, for some reason, to work on some occasions.
But I just don't get, like, going back to the jump, like, why is the space jump so hard to execute? It's not like it's the first game that ever had a double jump. Like, why does it not work?
It's like a specific time when you're coming down.
Yeah, you're like not at the high point of the arc. It's like as you're descending.
But like, why make
it
difficult? That's what I don't get.
The whole game is kind of that question. But why make it this difficult to do this? Like,
I had a lot of fun with the exploration finding different weapons.
Right. Yeah.
Even the combat I thought was
fighting
like,
hidden items was really
right,
cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, the combat
but
was
like,
pretty
anytime
good.
Anytime you're maneuvering in this game, like platforming and stuff like that, I just didn't think
biggest,
it was very
biggest
good.
Problems with this were the like fine-tuned maneuver jumps where you have to get to a hard area and then not knowing where to go because the map was unclear. Like those two things. There were probably nights where I would, you know, it took you 6 hours to beat this, Mike. It took me like almost 10 hours. Because there were entire nights where I'd play, and I would spend 2 hours, and I'd be like, oh, I must be making pretty good progress. And then I'd be like, oh, I found the door I have to go through. My whole night was basically just doing, like, one tiny increment of the game.
Right. Or that was a happy ending. The sad ending is, oh, this is a dead end. I wasted 2 hours just sitting here going down this path.
And there were some hidden items that I gave up towards the end with getting, which I knew I could get it if I tried hard enough. And I was like, nope, don't care. Not but I was it. Terrified that I did not get an important item that was going to screw me later.
So I assume you both did find all the weapons.
I believe so.
There's like, filled the status menu.
I think I did.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I did. Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Yeah, man, it was...
Can I say something else about this and to reveal how much I cheated in this game? So on the Nintendo Switch, you have a suspend feature that you can save the game.
Like save states?
You can do extra save states.
Yeah.
And you can also rewind. So you can hold it and go back. Do you know how many times I rewound in this game? A million, two
million
times.
Do you know how many times
you
rewound?
No, uncountable. I cheated my way through this game so hard. Like, there were some boss fights where I'd be like, I landed this missile hit, but I need to roll back here to get to this level of health, and I just rewound 10 times.
Which boss fights did you have trouble with? So there's, Kraid, Phantoon, Dragon, Ridley, and Mother Brain.
Can we walk through them? Because the names do not register.
So there's a bunch of mini-bosses, too, so they might confuse, but the official bosses are Kraid, who is the guy who has...
See the green guy?
Yeah, the first the boss.
Reptar-looking dude.
Yeah.
Yes, he does look like Reptar.
He, like, throws pieces of himself at you.
Yeah.
Like,
out of
like
his belly.
Toenails and belly.
That was like a standard...
Yeah. That was fine. I didn't have too much of an issue with that.
Then there's Phantoon, who is the...
It's the eyeball, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is that where he, like, becomes invisible and the blue fire falls on
Oh, that's
you?
Him?
Yes.
Yeah, I think I was okay with him.
Yeah, it was... Yeah.
I was thinking of, like, the vine.
That's
I think
like
it's a mini
again, it's like a normal video game boss of Super Nintendo era.
Yeah, so Phantoon, he felt like very Super Nintendo boss.
Oh, very, like, Castlevania to me, almost.
And he was pretty easy. Yeah. And then there's Dragon, who I... wanted to
which one's
fucking
Dragon?
Murder so bad. And then I looked up after I beat him, I looked up how to beat him, and I was like, I'm a fucking
Is that the
idiot.
Electrocution one?
No, so he's the guy who spits webbing at you and then he picks you up, and there's like turrets on the side of the room. Big green guy. Actually not big. He's
that's the electrocution.
You electrocute him.
Yeah.
What do you mean you electrocute him?
You can I actually didn't know you can kill him any other way. I thought that's how you had to kill him.
Yeah.
There's like a panel on the side that's broken.
Yeah.
And if you shoot your grappling hook into it while he's holding you, it electrocutes him and kills him.
It electrocutes both of you.
Shut up.
Yeah, I looked that up.
I didn't
well,
look
that up. I didn't specifically look
that
up. I
was shooting
him
and
he was
dealing no damage. And like I couldn't. Maybe it was because I didn't have the right gun.
Did you have super missiles?
Oh, I didn't. I don't know.
You definitely had super
missiles at this point. I'm sure I did, yeah. But it seemed like anything I was doing wasn't working, and I was like, there must be a puzzle element to this, and
this was
it kills him in one shot. It, like, immediately kills him.
So what I did was I just shot him with super missiles, and he kept coming down, and I dodged, and I fought him like 82 times.
I died so quickly that I thought that there had to be a puzzle.
This was in my late game frustration, and I was just scrolling through the IGN guide.
My problem with that was that he shoots like a massive webbing at you, that are coming at you at
exactly many different. Like weapons. I thought there was no way to get away from.
So I'd shoot it, and I'd like destroy most of them and get out of the way, and then I'd shoot him as much as I could with super missiles, and then, but a lot of times I'd get stuck, and I looked up a walkthrough and what people did. I saw somebody play like a really hard version of this game, a ROM hack. Mm-hmm. And the way he did it was he dropped a super bomb, which cleared the screen, and then he just shot him.
Oh,
I was like, motherfucker. So the one good thing about this game is that there's a lot of different ways to handle some bosses.
Yeah.
Ridley, for example, I just shot the shit out of.
Ridley, I kept jumping up with the, when you're like in the ball form, the morph ball.
Right.
And I dropped my super bombs as he was in the middle of the level. And I just took out a ton of his health that way.
That's what I did.
Yeah. I same thing. Quit in the room before. Right. Usually I try to finish these games, but I got so frustrated that I just booted up YouTube and watched the end of the game.
I mean, in fairness, if I was not able to rewind the game a lot, I wouldn't have gotten that far.
Yeah.
It's funny. I've wanted to beat this game, so I finally did, but I felt like I really forced myself to get through this game.
Yeah.
You mentioned that there are multiple ways to get through the bosses. I think even like getting through, like navigating certain parts where you, like the Metroid parts where you need items, it feels good. Like it doesn't feel cheap. It doesn't feel like, you know, you're at a door where you just need the bomb key. I think they did a very good job of making it seem thematic,
right?
I guess.
Yeah, and there's certain things you can kind of figure out on your own. Like, if I bomb this part of the wall, it's probably fine. But then you get like the X-ray vision too, and that reveals more things. And you're like, oh, okay, this all makes sense.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely had hard times at the end of the game, but like between electrocuting that boss, breaking the tube, I, for one reason or another, I was able to figure out from looking at it how to solve some of these puzzles, which I really liked.
When you're solving things
and it felt good
and beating enemies and making progress in the game, it feels so good.
It feels really good.
When you get stuck, you just want to throw your system out the window.
There's still like a big thing in like the 80s was especially with the original Metroid, making your own map as you went along and noting things down on like I could open this door. And they gave you a map, but you still felt like you should have kept your own map because there were doors you had to go back to that were like super bomb doors or super missile doors.
And you're just looking at like a grid with like tunnels and big square rooms, and you're like, I think I know what this room is, but oh no, it's actually this other room and this other area of the map.
Right.
It's really hard to keep track of.
There's a big map, but I feel like Resident Evil is invoked in every podcast we do, but like similar to that game where by the end of it I like feel like I knew the layout,
right?
There are some parts of the Metroid map or the Zebes map where I felt like I really knew very well, and I could just see the shapes
because you go through it like 500
exactly,
times
exactly. And I mean, but it resonated, or it felt memorable. A lot of the areas,
the earlier parts of the games were the ones that I forgot the most about because I was able to move through them pretty quickly versus I was stuck in this one area for 2 hours, so I know it like the back of my hand now.
And it sucks that you can't look at other zones
that's maps. A really difficult part.
And it's like, you know, and I did end up pulling up like a PDF of the manual, and in the manual they do show you how like what each world looks like and how they are relative to each other.
Did you know that this at the time when it came out was the largest Super Nintendo game?
Largest like from a file size?
Yeah, memory size. Hmm.
I believe that.
I mean, the art in it is so good. Like it looks amazing.
Oh, I think the sound was a big thing why it was like this. Because there's even like vocal clips, like when she screams and stuff.
Oh.
Ooh.
When you die?
Yeah.
The armor bursts off.
Yeah. A couple other things. There are hidden techniques, which I briefed you guys
like
on.
Like wall jumping?
So wall jumping, and also they call it, what's the
super bomb?
Oh, when you run and duck? That jump?
Yeah, that jump is called, it has a name.
That's not the space
jump? Oh, that's like the hyper jump or something.
No, it's called
like
the Shine Spark.
Shine Spark. That's what it is. Yeah.
I did get to the part where the ostrich thing does that.
Yeah, that's how it teaches you.
That was sick. I mean, was fun.
Did you see the guys who taught you the wall jump?
No.
There's little guys that hop around.
I might not have ever gotten to that part. There were some sections of the map.
It's pretty early in the game. I think it was a secret, though. It might have been a secret room.
I might have just not. I mean, clearly I didn't hit all parts of the map.
Yeah. Techniques. There is, I told you guys about this, which I didn't know about until I was watching some guy play this ridiculous ROM hack, but there's this thing called the Crystal Flash. So what is the Crystal Flash? Crystal Flash will restore all of your energy. How do you do it? Anywhere in the game, you can restore all of your energy.
It seems like a cheat code.
So if you select Power Bombs, Samus must have at least 50 or less energy, empty reserve tanks, at least 10 missiles, 10 super missiles, and 11 power bombs. Why 11? I don't know.
Why not?
But you enter your morph ball form, and you hold down the aim up button, which is your right trigger or right shoulder button, and then you aim down. So hold L and R simultaneously, which is the aim down. And then you hit the fire button. So you go in the morph ball, hold down, and hold L and R, and then you press the fire button, and it will result and Samus rising into the air in a ball of light, suitless. Her energy tanks were refilled rapidly. Only problem with it is you can't do it during a boss fight because you still take damage.
It's pretty cool. I had no idea you could do that.
Again, it seems like a debug sort of.
But it's in the demo. When you just leave the Metroid on screen, it shows you it. So it teases it in the attract mode.
Right, but I feel like it's. Its use there is almost for the animation, right? Because you don't, that's how you get that animation.
I don't know.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. So there was also another one.
I'm surprised that the guy playing the ROM hack allowed himself to do that. Can't you just do that anywhere?
I'm going to talk about the ROM hack in a second. So there's also the bomb spread. So if you charge your hand cannon and go into a ball, there'll be five bombs that go around. Did you guys figure that out?
I figured that out. I didn't see that. Right away, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that was me trying to get through like a section of the floor that I couldn't get through, and I was like, maybe if I do this, and five bombs popped out.
So Ridley, I didn't think was super hard. It took me like maybe two or three tries, but Mother Brain was super easy.
Super easy. It was confusing that you have to let yourself get attacked by the Metroid first, and then later by that Hyper Beam to actually beat the fight. I didn't have enough health to survive the Hyper Beam the first time, too, because you need a certain amount.
Oh, okay.
How many energy tanks did you finish the game with?
I think three. Wait, no.
You're talking about reserves?
Reserves, yeah, sorry.
So there's two. So there are energy tanks, which are the squares.
Right.
And then there's reserves, which are the extras. After.
Yeah, right. Okay, so I think I had two reserves.
I only had one reserve.
And then I only had
one reserve.
I had seven energy tanks or something like that.
I had nine
energy tanks. I had four. Or five.
Oh, four or five.
I mean, clearly I like just progressed. There's something about the route I took where I just skipped shit.
Yeah.
And I don't know if maybe I did a jump I wasn't supposed to or what, but I did not. My character did not seem ready for the end of the game.
You get a lot of those energy tanks towards the end of the game, too, when you're looking for stuff.
You get a ton of missiles at the end of the game, which are useless at the end of the game.
Yeah.
I ended up with 110 missiles.
Yeah, I think I had something like that.
It's ridiculous. And I only had like 30 super missiles.
Well, I used so many of them because to get to Mother Brain, you have to go through those like laser grid areas and they only are killable by missile. You can't just shoot them. And so I used
I never shot those laser things. So I would always just take out the Metroid. I'd freeze them. So because I played the original Metroid, I knew to freeze the Metroid and then missile them. Mm-hmm. And then I just go through that whole thing.
No, but I'm talking about when you get to like the tank where the brain is in, you have to shoot the tank. Before that, there's like
oh yeah,
red lasers.
Yeah.
And so I had like 110 missiles, but then you're getting like lava and like laser beams shot at you, and you keep taking damage. And so I'm just like spamming missiles at these walls.
Yeah. That part wasn't that in the original Metroid. That part was super tense because. And that was an incredible boss fight for the Nintendo Entertainment System. But that's that part is the boss fight with glass tank. It's the exact same thing.
Huh.
Like, to a T, it's the exact same thing.
Wow. Even when the brain, like, comes out and then, like, turns into a monster?
No, that's what changes in the Super Nintendo version.
Do you actually fight the brain, or do you just have to, like, crack the tank and kill it?
You have to break the tank open, and then you have to shoot them. I think you have to shoot it, like, 75 times, the brain.
Oh, you didn't have to shoot it that many times
No, it's like super tense. And then after that, you have to do the escape, which is the same thing you do in Super Metroid.
Oof, that escape, yeah.
But the escape in Nintendo is just going up, and it's like really small platforms.
Yeah.
And in the Super Nintendo version, the escape was like, I was like, oh my God, this is a lot.
Yeah, I think I had like 12 seconds or something left at the end. I was like, oh God, get in the ship.
That was like one of the only times I used a save state because I'm like, I'm not doing this again. But I'm fine. So
I was very happy when I decided to go to YouTube and watch it.
So
opted not to play.
So there's multiple endings, which is what Metroid originally like was like a big thing with Metroid is that you could see her without the suit, and that was like the original Nintendo one. There was like the first game that had multiple endings. One of the first games that was an example of multiple endings. This game has multiple endings where you can see her without her helmet on, without the suit on in the ending, depending upon the time you get. But there's also, if you can save the guys that teach you the shine spark jump and also the wall jump.
How do you save them?
There's an area when you're going through the maze, you can shoot and they leave. And then and then in the ending, the only difference between the ending is if you get the normal ending, she gets out in her ship and the planet explodes. If you save the aliens, there's a little line that goes out signifying that they left.
Oh, like ship. On another ship?
Yeah.
Good for them. Good for them.
I didn't get the vibe that those guys could pilot a ship.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah, they seemed like creatures. Like
an ostrich.
Yeah.
So, I didn't even see the other guys.
So this game is also, we should say, like super big in speedruns. So I've watched the Super Metroid Randomizer, which is where they randomize the items. Mm-hmm. It's a very big speedrun community around this.
What is like the, you know, like a record? Like, I know like 2 hours-ish. Like, can you do it in under an hour? Do you know offhand?
What did you suggest was the record?
2.5. 2 hours. 2 hours and 10 minutes.
40 minutes, 56 seconds is the current world record.
That's a speedy run.
Does it show, like, is there any qualifiers to that? Is it like, you know, allowing
any percentage? This is any percentage. 100%. The speed run currently is 1 hour and 13 minutes.
Wow.
For 100%.
Wow. That's impressive. I've heard about like randomizers in other games. I know Dark Souls and Resident Evil, they're very popular. But I've heard about the Link to the Past.
Yeah.
Merger.
Yeah,
Super Metroid.
They did that at like Summer Games Done Quick.
Oh, they did. Oh, yeah, that's cool.
They did the it's Super Metroid plus Link to the Past, where there's like a.
You get items for the other game, right?
No, it's just they're linked, and you have to do them together.
Right, I thought, maybe I'm misunderstanding. I thought it was like you'd find the hookshot in Super Metroid, and then you'd go back to Link to the Past.
I don't think so.
To use it.
But I could be wrong.
Well, in my mind, that sounds awesome.
In my mind, I'm having a great
time. So the ROM hack that I was watching on YouTube, somebody play, and it's going to be featured as one of the closing games at Awesome Games Done Quick in January, is Super Metroid Impossible. Which was originally created as a incredibly hard game that no one thought they could beat. And this guy now can beat it in like 2 hours or something. But it's like, just adds spikes and adds more difficulty to it. So for example, the fight with Dragon where you can grapple the electric area, they wall that off.
Well, okay.
And their items in different paths, different areas. And I think the hardest part of that game from watching it was... You don't get the Varia suit, which allows you to go in the heat area.
Oh, yeah.
Until after Ridley.
What?
So you have to basically soak the damage.
Yes, and you have to continuously get health from things in order to.
Oh, that is.
Intense. Yeah, so it gets like it's incredible watching this.
I'm glad some people think that's fun.
Yeah, the regular game was hard enough.
Yeah.
So where will this game fall on our list?
That is a great question.
And just for transparency, Metroid is our most popular episode ever.
Oh,
really?
That, yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
The original Metroid.
Let's not piss everyone off.
But this is our second Metroid game. This is Metroid joins an exclusive company with Final Fantasy as being the only franchises with two entries on the endless list.
Hmm. Congratulations to Metroid.
Our seventh Super Nintendo game. Our second Metroidvania game. The fifth, which
or is it?
Or Metroid game, because it is Metroid. Right. Fifth game from 1994 on the list, our 11th Nintendo published game and second Nintendo R&D1 developed game. Things to keep in mind when we talk about the ranking. So, developers who have said Super Metroid has been an influence on them and their development. Games that were heavily influenced by Super Metroid. Castlevania Symphony of the Night, as well as the ridiculous amount of Castlevania games they made after Symphony of the Night that copied the same formula. Cave Story, which is a game that helped popularize indie games as a genre, and which came out in 2004. Axiom Verge, which is obvious because that game is just basically a Metroid game. Hollow Knight, Shadow Complex, Ori and the Blind Forest,
yep.
Guacamelee, the SteamWorld Dig series, Dark Souls. The creators of Dark Souls have said that Super Metroid was a heavy influence on them.
I see it.
The Arkham series, La Mulana, which is another indie game, and the latest God of War, that team said that Super Metroid was a heavy influence on them.
Hmm.
So things to keep in mind as we discuss this game on our list.
I don't think there was ever a doubt that
Super
Metroid had a huge influence and legacy.
It's like, oh, wow, a lot of people like Mario. That's
surprising.
So just for me, what other Metroidvania games have you guys beaten? Do you guys...
I've played Ori and the Blind Forest.
Okay.
I called this out, but you told me it wasn't. But I said Arkham Asylum I thought was a Metroidvania-style game.
I think Metroidvania today and its current... when you invoke that, it's like 2D, people think.
Yeah, no, I understand. I understand. But it's influenced by that. I can see that. Dark Souls, I played a little bit of.
I don't even know if I'd call that a...
Well, I think the way the map works, where you have to kind of retrace your steps.
And, like a traditional 2D.
Yeah, like 2D. Like Hollow Knight is Ori and the Blind Forest.
Yeah. Would Hyperlight Drifter be considered that?
No.
I think that's more like Linked to the Past influence.
Yeah. All right. I guess Ori and the Blind Forest is, which is, as I was playing this whole game, I was thinking about Ori and the Blind Forest the whole time.
So, Matt, what do you...
Struggling to think of anyone's I've actually beaten.
Wow. So I am a huge fan of Metroidvania games.
I mean, I like them. I just, there's something, I'll let you finish.
So in the past 4 years, I've beaten Castlevania Circle of the Moon, which is a GBA game, Castlevania Symphony of the Night, Axiom Verge, Rogue Legacy, which was another game that's heavily influenced by this game, Cave Story, SteamWorld Dig 2, Dead Cells, Super Metroid, and Metroid.
Yeah, I was wondering if, I mean, I get Dead Cells has like the 2D, I guess it is pretty Metroidvania-y, because you're trying to get like the runes that allow you to access different maps, but it's roguelite-y, it's less, like a very hybrid.
Yeah.
Hollow Knight is on my list of games to play. I really want to try that.
I love Metroidvania games. I'm currently playing another Castlevania game on the DS.
I think the biggest downside to them is that they're generally very long.
Yeah, this game was too long.
I mean, right? Like, Hollow Knight is very long.
I don't know. I really enjoy it. I just love the sensation of being able to getting a weapon or some item that can open up new areas for you to explore. I love that loop.
That is a nice
and this game,
dopamine rush.
Super Metroid kind of formalized that, because Metroid did it in some regard, but Super Metroid really crystallized that concept.
I think my biggest issue with them is that the maps usually do not do enough for me.
Okay.
I understand that part of the game is to, you know, remember that you encountered some door somewhere that, oh, obviously this new item will allow me to get through it. But maybe I don't have that memory to pinpoint where that room is. And so I'll get the item.
Doesn't sound like it from your playthrough.
Yeah, I'll get the item, know that it's going to get me through this door, and then it's like, all right, where the hell was that door?
See, I'm more like the guy who will explore every area and every nook and cranny.
But it's going back, like,
yeah,
when you've already explored that part of the map, especially, and you open up your map and you just see this huge, expansive area that you've already explored, how do you know where that door is?
Well, and you brought up the point that you can't see other areas to know that sometimes you have to go back to another region on the planet,
right,
and open a door.
And which region was it?
And then and it wasn't even just opening the door, but then you have to like go under this platform that you may not have thought twice about before.
So this game made me appreciate, I liked it a lot, and I think it's probably one of my favorite Metroidvanias, but this game made me appreciate Castlevania Symphony of the Night so much more, because Castlevania Symphony of the Night does very clever things with the map in order for you to know to go back there,
right,
that there's, and in Castlevania Symphony of the Night, they kind of formalize the, if there's an area that bumps up against another area on the map, then you can go in between those two areas.
Yeah.
But
even Hollow Knight, like the map is not that descriptive. I think in Hollow Knight, if I recall correctly, there's like a vendor that you can go to that like adds certain things to the map.
Yeah, I haven't played it yet, but I'm more speaking of Symphony of the Night because it came out 3 years after this.
Yeah.
There's even things like if there's a space in between two areas, there's definitely something there. If there looks like there should be a room in an area, there's a room there that you can get to eventually. So, and there's also things in the map where the edges of the map will be cut off in a way that suggests that there's more room.
Yeah, there's like it's like an open
end
versus a closed end kind of thing.
And they do that in this game, but it's still like the boundaries of rooms is like not the greatest indicator that there's, because there's some rooms that you can go into that is just a continuation of the room, but there's a line there.
Yeah.
It's weird. So they didn't get the map right, but the map and the element of adding the map was revolutionary in the time period.
I mean, yeah, good for them. They were trailblazers there.
So when I was first thinking about this and writing my notes, the first thing I suggested to myself was that there might be a need to move Metroid down and just put Super Metroid on this list.
Agree completely.
Metroid seems a lot higher than it should be right now.
I actually, to be honest with you, and to be like completely transparent without dickering about where this goes on the list too much, I think that this should go above Age of Empires 2, below Shadow of the Colossus, and move Metroid down a few spots. That's where I am.
That works for me.
Interesting. Because I struggle with this because this is obviously a legendary game that has a huge impact and has influenced tons of game. There are sections of it that I absolutely loved, but there's sections of it that drove me crazy, and that makes it hard for me to be like, oh, it's a classic game. Put it up like top five.
Yeah.
Like,
are we okay with moving Metroid on a non-re-rank episode?
I think that's reasonable. I agree with Steve completely. I liked large portions of my playing of this game, but the end soured me on most of the experience.
Yeah, the initial, when you boot up that game and you play for a few hours, you're like, this game's great.
Yeah.
And then you get through to doing wall jumps and doing some things and
just keeps going.
It's pretty crazy that this game came out when it did and added the things that it did, but at the same time, your enjoyment, you posted a chart that is, your enjoyment's very high at the beginning, it suddenly goes
and
down.
And nosedives.
Yes.
But I think if you can get through playing this game the first time and enjoying it, I can see how playing it again is very enjoyable.
Yes.
Yeah. When you already know what
to do. I would say to like 90% of this game, because I played through 90% of it, was very good for me. And I really liked it.
I could see playing this again in 5 years or so and just being like, oh, sweet.
And also every time you play through it, you're going to discover something new.
Yeah.
Because unless you like have a map open and you're like going through it to 100%, if you just play through it, you will naturally just explore different things and find new items. I was even watching playthroughs and I was like, holy fuck, there's like, that was there? I can't believe that energy tank was there.
I do have beef with the fact that there are some walls that the X-ray vision shows you a wall, but you can walk through it.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, towards the end, you know, in Ridley's lair or whatever you want to call it, where all the lava is.
Norfair.
There's an area where you've encountered the walls that you can just like run through, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so the X-ray will show you like holes and stuff that you can, you know, where there's a path, but there are certain walls that just look opaque that you can run through, and even the X-ray doesn't show you.
I don't know if I encountered that.
I don't think I ever
encountered that. Yeah, there's a specific moment I'm remembering where it's at the end when you're encountering, it's just before the spot I stopped, where the two space pirates that are shielded and there's bullshit, you know, everywhere.
Just bullshit everywhere.
I mean, that last section is just not that fun.
Imagine playing that with no Varia suit.
Right. No, it seems awful.
I, for all of the great things you can say about this game, when I beat it, I like threw down my Switch. I had it in handheld mode and I was just like, done. Fucking finally. Like Lana was sitting next to me. She was like, what happened? I was like, just achieved something very notable.
I think we have a good spot for Super Metroid.
I think that's a perfect place for number 8. Super Metroid. Yes. It's
so above Shadow of the, or no, below it. Shadow of the Colossus. Yes. Yes. Above Age of Empires.
Yes.
Too. Right.
That and seems then, right. Would you want to put Metroid maybe below Star Fox 64?
Do you think that?
I mean.
Or would you move it?
I would move it. I would. I mean, if I'm gonna just place it, I would put it at 16.
I'm not putting it below Hotline Miami.
I mean,
Hotline Miami
awesome. Is a gem.
Right, but it also came out 7 years ago versus 25 years ago. So you can't really compare apples to apples.
I mean,
that's what we do on this
podcast. Yeah, that is what we do on this podcast.
We compare a lot of apples to oranges.
I mean, Mega Man 2 came out in 1989. It says. Is that accurate?
Yeah, yes.
I guess so. Wow.
Mega Man 2 at number 10.
Mega Man 2 is a better game.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
As a whole game. I don't think it's as influential, but it's a better game.
I don't know. I don't think Metroid 1 is all that great.
I haven't played enough.
So I'm willing to put it as low as we think is fair. You think below Star Fox and above Tecmo Super Bowl, so that would be 12.
Yeah.
It can survive there until the re-rank.
I mean, this is kind of an unprecedented move here. Yeah, I know, so maybe right? We shouldn't move it too aggressively.
That's fair. Good point, Steve. Yeah.
All right, so we're going to add Super Metroid as our new number 8, which would put, I'm not going to do math here, but we're going to put Metroid in between Star Fox and Tecmo Super Bowl. Thank you, Steve and Matt, for joining us on this podcast.
Thank you, Mike.
Having this podcast. This is It's So Bad, the podcast where we add things to our endless list. We've added another all-time classic in Super Metroid this week, and next week we'll add another game. But you can follow us on Twitter at It's So Bad Pod and itssobadpod@gmail.com for all of your questions, comments, suggestions. If you want to collaborate with us, maybe, you can do that, sure. If you want to send us your tips and tricks, send us your hate mail, why you want to, you know, send us anything, attachments that are viruses, you can do that. I won't open them. But yeah, we'll be back next week with another episode. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, etc., wherever you find your podcasts. And again, we'll be back. Thanks, guys.